broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. The second day of a new year. I know it's the third, but it's our second broadcast day, and delighted to be on the air as we answer your questions. The number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And via the phone lines, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. If you haven't plugged into Hank Unplugged, not the broadcast, but the podcast, you can do so on the web at equip.org or wherever your favorite podcasts are consumed, including iTunes. And if you listen to the podcast on iTunes, make sure you rate, review, share, subscribe. And if you give us a five-star rating, it will help to get the podcast in the domain of people that might otherwise never hear about it. We have a brand new podcast going up. It's called My Podcast with Father Themi, who is a former atheist. He's a rock star turned missionary priest. He serves in one of the poorest countries in the world, Sierra Leone. When I was diagnosed with cancer last year, one of the first phone calls I got was from Father Themi saying, West Africa, Hank, is praying for you. And as he put it in my conversation with him in the podcast, Fame is Empty, Christianity Has No Expiration Date. This is a podcast you do not want to miss. So if you haven't plugged into Hank Unplugged, remedy that woeful situation as quickly as you can. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You know, yesterday I alluded to Darwin's Tree of Life. And today I would like to elaborate. And again, when you call 888-ASK-HANK, you don't have to ask a question about this issue. You can ask a question about any issue. But this is something that we're focused in on because our resource of the month includes a book titled Zombie Science by Jonathan Wells. And Jonathan Wells is an expert who writes in a very contemporary fashion. He is a fellow senior, a senior fellow, at the Discovery Institute Center of Science and Culture in Seattle, holds a PhD in molecular and cell biology and a PhD in religious studies from Yale University. And what's interesting about Jonathan Wells is he is obviously very, very bright, very accomplished, but he writes in the most delightful way. And if you haven't read his book, it's available for those who support the ministry all this month. But again, I alluded to the Darwinian Tree of Life yesterday. Today, I'd like to elaborate because of all of the icons of evolution. Darwin's Tree of Life is both the most popular and the most preposterous icon of evolution. The Tree of Life icon, the only illustration, by the way, in Darwin's Origin of Species, is roundly contradicted by evidence. And yet it continues to be presented as an unquestionable reality in biology textbooks, in popular television broadcasts, and in pseudoscientific magazines that are masquerading as scientific magazines. And as Jonathan Wells makes clear in Zombie Science, the reason materialists say all species are descended from common ancestors is that, well, frankly, they abhor the idea of a creative designer. In other words, according to materialistic science, creation is ruled out a priori before examining the facts. And since creation is not considered, Darwin's Tree of Life wins the battle of ideas by default. The icon, therefore, is not about education. It is about indoctrination masquerading as science. As American Museum of Natural History paleontologist Gareth Nelson put it, the idea that one can go to the fossil record and expect to empirically recover an ancestor-descendant sequence continues to be a pernicious illusion. Think about that. This is an evolutionist making that statement. And former Nature editor, doesn't get any better than that, Henry Gee, was equally direct when he said to take a line of fossils and claim that the fossils represent a lineage is not a scientific hypothesis that can be tested, but an assertion that carries the same validity as a bedtime story. Again, this from an evolutionist. The truth is the inconceivably great number of transitional links postulated by Darwin have never been found. Now, Darwin attributed the problem to the imperfection of the fossil record. But more than a century of fossil finds has only worsened this evolutionary dilemma. And yet, rather than concede that Darwin must have been dead wrong, evolutionists have only become more creative. To explain why the fossil record shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection, evolutionists have proliferated the novel notion that new species do not arise gradually by the steady transformation of its ancestors, but they appear all at once and fully formed. That fairy tale is being pawned off to the unsuspecting in a book titled The Wonderful Egg. This is a book written by four children. I was going to say by children. Actually, it's four children, but maybe by children as well. I don't know. In it, we read of a mother dinosaur laying an egg that hatches into the very first bird. So here you have a reptile laying an egg, and out comes a bird. And after growing up into a beautiful specimen replete with wings and feathers, the bird flies into a tall tree and sings a happy song. Now, what the book doesn't tell you is that there's a real tragedy here, and that's not just that the little bird's song may well become a funeral dirge when it realizes it has no one with which to produce offspring. So it's a dead end in evolution. But the real tragedy from my perspective is that the book has earned recommendation from the prestigious American Association for the Advancement of Science, from the American Council on Education, and from the Association for Childhood Education International. Think of that. You have these prestigious organizations resorting to a fairy tale to convince the unsuspecting that somehow or other there's an explanation for the poverty of the fossil record. The fossil record says no to Darwin's Tree of Life, and so you've got to make up a story. The story is utterly implausible, and yet it's a narrative that is being pawned off to children. Why? Because the idea of an intelligent designer is ruled out of court before looking at any of the evidence. The assumption is everything has to be materialistic. That's the only explanation allowed. Now, that by definition is not education. That by definition is brainwashing. And what I mean by that, and let me carefully define what I'm saying here, what I mean by that is that if you produce all of the so-called evidence on one side of a ledger and you pontificate about it, and then, well, you try to keep all of the information on the other side of the ledger away from people, that's not education. And what the intelligent design people, people like Jonathan Wells, want to do is not obscure the evolutionary story, but rather allow people to consider alternatives. In other words, all that intelligent design theorists are asking is that people in the 21st century are open-minded, not closed-minded, but open-minded. And as I'm going to be pointing out throughout the duration of this month, when we talk about this issue, we're not talking about, well, some obscure issue whereby you can say, you know what, all of that stuff's over my head, RNA, DNA, it's all over my head. I can't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me, and therefore I'm going to turn a blind eye to it. You can't say that. And a reason you can't say that is this is the most fundamental of all revolutions. A revolution that started in the 19th century and persists to this very day. And as a Christian, we have to be on the vanguard of breaking down this wall. This is a wall that separates parents from children and children from parents. Imagine taking your children to church for 20 years, and then they end up in a university and they come back and you don't recognize them. Why? Because they've bought into the idea that there is no such thing as intelligent design. They listen to the straw men that have been erected. Straw men that tell them that the book of Genesis is flawed at its very foundation, and therefore the rest of the Bible is untenable. And so within a few months, they no longer want anything to do with the fairy tale of Christianity, not realizing that they have bought into a fairy tale themselves, and that in reality, all they have listened to are the pundits and the professors who are setting up a caricature of Christianity, knocking down the caricature. This is a fundamental issue. I read about three great apologetic issues in the Creation Answer book, by the way, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and I say of all of these issues, the chief issue is the issue of origins. How one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you suppose you are a function of random processes, you're going to live your life by a wholly different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. Now, there are some other significant apologetic issues. I think there are three, the issue of origins, and that leads to the fact that the transcendent God who laid the foundations of the earth condescended to cloak Himself in human flesh. And God raised Himself from the dead. And therefore, Christ, the God-man, does not stand in a line of peers with Abraham, Buddha, Confucius, or Muhammad. And let me add the third, which is we can know with certainty that the book beginning with the words, "In the beginning, God," is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. As Christians, we do not accept this truth by blind faith, but rather by faith rooted in a refutable fact. I've written about all these great apologetic issues, but right now I'm focusing on the apologetic issue. It's why I make available for those who support the ministry this month, Zombie Science. And as I'm making this available for your support and asking you to stand with us this year, 2018, I would be remiss if I did not thank those who stood with us in 2017. I am deeply, deeply grateful for those who have invested God's resources in this ministry. We don't take it lightly. And the truth of the matter is this: only from the perspective of eternity will you fully realize how your investment in this ministry has been used for God's glory to touch the lives of people all around the world. Check out the resource, zombiescienceequip.org, and we'll be right back.
There was once a time when the fall of the Berlin Wall seemed unimaginable, yet that day came. Likewise, the prevailing cultural conformance to the dogma of Darwinian evolution seems so pervasive that it's hard to imagine an end to this era. But Dr. Jonathan Wells believes that truth will prevail and uses the example of vampires to explain how. Wells writes that battling vampires presents the best metaphor for fighting dogmatic materialism masquerading as empirical science. One way to kill a vampire, according to popular lore, is to expose it to direct sunlight. To end the reign of Darwinism, it is essential to be equipped with the light of truth. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. What's the perfect resource to teach the young people in your life why evolution is false? It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your Farce of Evolution flip chart. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Well, now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hello, we're starting out with Christina Hanegraaff this time. We just talked about the podcast, so speaking of the podcast, we wanted to do a couple of testimonials. So we have a comment from a YouTube video posted on the Bible Answer Man Network on the importance of tithing. So someone says, I donated to CRI $50 this year. It feels great to give. I love you, Hank, and I'm praying for you. And then he commented on the importance of tithing. Someone else on Facebook said, I just wanted to let Hank know I appreciated his rebuttal on John MacArthur. I have no problem with Hank joining the Eastern Orthodox Church and miss hearing the show in Utah. I listened to John MacArthur since 1982, and the first time I heard him teach Calvinism was four or five years ago. I was appalled. I can see why people believe it, but the whole Bible shows God giving us a choice. Anyway, I pray God will continue to bless your ministry. And then we have a Hank Unplugged review. Oh, hi. I did an error. My bad. I was just supposed to read the Hank Unplugged review. Sorry about that. Well, that says 5 stars by Gordy L, calling it refreshing and deep. I thoroughly enjoy the interviews and learning from 2 people in the process. A great way to drive to and from work and not feel like I'm in a hurry. And then 5 stars by Aaron Bauer, saying it offers a new perspective. If you prize your perspective as sacred, I suggest you avoid this podcast. If, on the other hand, you desire to hear a faithful witness and share in the perspective of Christians all around the globe, devour Hank Unplugged. I'm a trained pastor in the Pacific Northwest USA with a lot to learn from global Christians.
Yeah, and the reason that I thought that those testimonies were particularly inspiring is that what they're doing is they're pointing people to the fact that this Hank Unplugged podcast leads people into some really deep conversations, really meaningful conversations. And I've been getting comments from all over the world, people saying that they use these podcasts as they drive, as they commute. So many people listening to the podcast in many different ways. Of course, podcast is brand new last year, started Hank Unplugged in 2017, and it's just gaining momentum. So, yeah, and with respect to the one comment that you read about John MacArthur, remember that with respect to Calvinism, we would say this, although I personally am not a Calvinist. I grew up in a Calvinist context, in a Calvinist home, but I'm not a Calvinist myself, although I'm not. I consider the debate between Calvinists and non-Calvinists a collegial debate. I think it's a very important debate, but one that ought to be carried on with gentleness and with respect. And in my response to John MacArthur, which you can find on the web at equip.org, or if you just Google Hanegraaff MacArthur, in my response to John MacArthur, I hope I did that with a spirit of charity, but I felt like I needed to respond to what he said for the sake of the gospel. So check it out for yourself. Many other very, very touching letters, cards, notes. One from Karen who says, thank you. My husband passed away in my arms of cancer on December 30. And you and your family and your courage and CRI have made my life bearable over this past year. Cancer, absent in the body, present with the Lord. I mean, that's about as touching as it gets. And I have been sharing my own progress with cancer in the social media platforms, and I'll continue to do that. I'm going to do a Facebook Live update after I get my PET scan report tomorrow. I did the PET scan today, and it'll give me an idea of what the state of my tumors are, and as I've been transparent and sharing this with people, I want to continue doing that, and I'll do that after I get the news on the state of my tumors tomorrow. But sharing my story is sometimes hard to do, but when you read a note like this one by Karen, it makes it all worthwhile. Somehow or other, my own testimony of an experience with cancer helped her, gave her courage. And you can imagine the scene of her dying with her husband dying in her arms. A very, very touching testimony. But there are so many others. Roger writes, when I listen to Hank, I hear grace in his answers, unlike some who seem to only want to push an agenda. And, quote, if you are not like us, then you are doomed. Hank is answering with grace. God bless you, Hank. I'm not a Catholic, but my wife is. And he goes on to say, I donated to CRI this year. It feels great to give. I love you, Hank, and I'm praying for you. Thank you, Roger, and thank you to everyone who can say the same thing, that they are supporting this ministry and that they love supporting the ministry, that it feels great to give. It really does feel great to give. I've learned to give more in the last year, I can say with all honesty. I've learned to give more last year than I've ever given in my entire life. It's been a bit of a stretching for me, but it has been a great blessing as well. I want to share an answer to a question that came in through correspondence, and I thought this was one I need to deal with before the holidays get too far away from us. So I'll read the content of the question. Dear Hank, I've been troubled recently concerning the view that many Christians hold that the Lord, through his commands in the Word, declares that drinking alcohol is a sin. I search from one end of the Scriptures to the other. I find nothing that states this from the Lord, that drinking is necessarily a sin. But I've got 1,000 thoughts running through my mind on how to view this. The event that causes me the most confusion is, if consuming alcoholic beverages is necessarily sinful, why then did the first miracle of Christ, according to John, a miracle the Bible says manifested his glory, and by it the disciples believed in him, turning water into wine? Why that miracle being the first miracle of Christ? Please address this question, because I don't know which way to turn. What is the truth? Thank you. And the question comes in from Nick. The reason I wanted to address this before the holidays get too far away from us is because, well, during the holidays, a lot of people consume alcohol. And I think what's really important is to recognize, first of all, the context in which the Bible describes alcohol. There's a pro and a con. There's a warning, and there's a commendation. So the Bible is very even-handed in this regard. First, with respect to warning, the Bible makes clear, and this from the mouth of Solomon, that wine is a mocker and beer a brawler, and whoever is led astray by them, well, is just not wise. Later on, Solomon says, do not join those who drink too much wine, those who gorge themselves on meat. And in that, I think, is a bit of a proverb. And that proverb is the proverbial idea that, on the one hand, wine can be consumed, but not in excess, just as food can be consumed, but not in excess. So if you are gorging yourself on meat, you are violating the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're gorging yourself on wine, well, you're doing the same. You are not only impairing the physical part of your humanity, but the metaphysical part of your humanity as well. I think of Ephesians in the New Testament. Don't be foolish, says the Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, often referred to as the divinest composition of humankind. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So don't get drunk. That leads to debauchery. You're in an altered state of consciousness. You do things you wouldn't otherwise do. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you want a real high, be filled with the Spirit. That's where the real high comes from. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, another epistle by Paul, where he says, don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Now think of that for just a moment. The company. Idolaters. Adulterers. Thieves. Greedy. Slanderers. Swindlers. And in the litany, you have drunkards. You don't want to be in that company, and therefore you can't be a drunkard, which means you can't abuse the privilege of consuming what God has created for us to consume in a way that would be displeasing to Him. The other side of the coin, of course, is that wine is a blessing. As David says, wine gladdens human hearts. Or I think about one of my favorite Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Isaiah 25, another example, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all the peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. So wine can be a blessing. And we also see that it can be used for medicinal purposes. So Paul says to Timothy, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Some have tried to explain that away by saying that Paul was telling Timothy that he could rub some wine in his stomach. Couldn't drink it, but he could. But that, I think, is stretching the truth a little bit with respect to what Scripture is teaching. But with regards to the miracle at Cana, when Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding banquet, it is clear from the head waiter's response that the wine contained alcohol normal for the day. And so we can say that wine is a blessing, but it cannot be misused, leading to drunkenness or worse. So, good question by Nick. The questions come in all kinds of ways, and we intend this year to answer those questions as they come in. It is one of the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute, and it's not simply giving an answer, but demonstrating the Christian worldview, well, it holds up to real scrutiny. I've been doing this for a long time, and I find that when I don't know an answer to a question, as I search for the answer to the question, I find out that there's always a good answer when you are immersed in a view that is biblically oriented. And so you can trust the biblical worldview. It stands up to reason. It stands up to scrutiny. Be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial. And again, thank you to all those that make this ministry possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
How you view your origin determines how you live. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created a helpful flip chart called Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your Farce of Evolution flip chart when you call with your donation today. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teachings such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym F-A-R-C-E, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. In 2017, we became familiar with the term fake news. In 2018, we want you to become familiar with the term fake science, or zombie science, as Dr. Jonathan Wells calls it in his book. The job of a scientist is to follow the evidence wherever it leads. Unfortunately, many scientists are failing to do their job in order to maintain the materialist manifesto's status quo. It's time to be equipped with the truth and put an end to this fake zombie science. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from a professor of geophysics at Columbia University and later director of the Mount Wilson Observatory and the Hale Solar Laboratory. A pretty accomplished guy. He was the founding director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, and he has this to say, I quote, "Astronomers now find they have painted themselves into a corner because they have proven by their own methods that the world began abruptly in an act of creation to which you can trace the seeds of every star, every planet, every living thing in the cosmos and on Earth. And they have found that all of this happened as a product of forces they cannot hope to discover. That there are what I or anyone would call supernatural forces at work is now, I think, a scientifically proven fact. I love this quote because as we get more immersed in an age of scientific enlightenment, the evolutionary dogma becomes less and less plausible. And I asked in a podcast, I asked Jonathan Wells, the author of Zombie Science, whether he thought that it was possible that in our generation, the evolutionary edifice would crumble and eventually fall like the Great Wall. And he said he thinks that that is entirely possible. But if the wall is to fall, it will take you listening to my voice right now to help in the process. God ordains the ends as well as the means, and you can be the means by which the wall is eradicated. This is a wall that keeps people from considering the inexorable truth that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore our lives have transcendent meaning and purpose. We're not merely molecules in motion. Truth really matters. What we do really matters. History really matters. There really is a right and a wrong. There really is a good and a bad. There really is the opportunity to choose. None of those options are available for you if you're a materialist. I've often said if Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, her choices are not free. They're fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. And if she is merely material, there is no such thing as right or wrong. So when she says, I would like to blow up the White House, you might have an opinion about that, but you can't say it's right or wrong because there is no right or wrong in this worldview. So again, ideas have consequences, and this idea has the most foundational of all consequences. I mentioned this yesterday, survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. You draw this to its logical conclusion, and not all evolutionists do, but you draw this to its logical conclusion, and you would say with Darwin, as he does in The Descent of Man, you would say that there are higher species and lower species, and that includes humanity. And therefore, you have those who are Caucasian, as he would have put it, and those who are dangling on the edge of humanity. In his view, the Negro and the Australian. So there are higher races and lower races. And inevitably, this is what you have to believe if you draw the idea out to its logical consequences. So again, ideas have consequences, and grave consequences followed the idea of the evolutionary paradigm. And this month, we have great resources available. Number one, Zombie Science, Icons of Evolution. This is Jonathan Wells' new book. I love it. I've read it cover to cover, and I'm going back through it, reading it again chapter by chapter, because I just love the book. And again, it's available to you. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. We also have available Icons of Evolution. It is the film. This film, a DVD, you ought to watch with your children. It explodes the myths, and it does it in not a preachy way, but it does it in a very, very contemporary, compelling, convincing fashion. So the Icons of Evolution film, also available for those who support the ministry all this month. And then I've always tried to use what I think is a gift that God gave me, and that is to take the complex, make it simple and transferable. And to that end, I developed a little flip chart. It's titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. And I use FARS as an acronym so that you can remember the problem with the evolutionary hypothesis or low-grade theory. This is a 4x6 laminated flip chart your kids can take it to school with them. You can read it on a beach. You can have it in your bathing suit. It's not going to destroy in the water. It's not going to wrinkle. It's not going to tear. This is a flip chart that ultimately takes this very complex issue and reduces it to its irreducible minimum so you can understand precisely why the evolutionary paradigm is untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. Again, memorable keys to the farce of evolution available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Any one of these offers for those who support the ministry this month. And please commit this month not just to listen, but to jump on the train and support. If those who listen and consume the broadcast would become supporters at whatever level the Lord would lead you to give, it would make a great difference in terms of reaching people all over the planet. I do want to get to a question that came in on yesterday's broadcast. I didn't get a chance to get it yesterday. It was too late by the time I got to it. But this was Bryce from Houston, Texas, who asks, is it okay to force violent Muslims out of our world? Well, I think that question came in response to a book that I wrote, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And my answer, Bryce, is simply this. We have to, first of all, understand the difference between I and my government. The government has a purpose. The purpose of the government ordained by God is to provide justice and to provide protection of its citizens. That's clearly delineated in Romans chapter 13. So if you have violent extremists of any kind in the country, the government, through its agencies, ought to use the power of the government in order to root out this kind of evil that compromises the safety and security of its citizenry. But you as a Christian have to look at this a little differently, which is to say Christians are called to love their enemies, love those who persecute you. Do not repay evil for evil. On the contrary, what you want to do is pray for those who persecute you. That's a hard thing to do, but it's like, as Paul says, it's like heaping burning coals upon their head. Don't be overcome by evil, but rather, as Paul puts it, overcome evil by good. So again, you as a believer are called to love those who are your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then Proverbs in the Old Testament says the same thing that Paul does in the New Testament. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Paul actually takes the Old Testament, recapitulates it in Romans chapter 12. So we need to look at those who are seeking to harm us as opportunities for witness, opportunities for prayer. Some of the most violent, murderous people have been utterly transformed by the gospel. How can I say that with certainty? Well, the Apostle Paul was one of them. Remember Stephen? Stephen was being martyred, and Paul was giving assent to his murder. He was being violently killed. I mean, this was one of the most violent massacres you could imagine, stones being pelted against someone's body until they're finally dead. So Paul was a persecutor, and he was utterly transformed by the power of the gospel. In this case, in a very unique way, But in most cases, God uses agency. We can be those agents that transform the world. So I see Muslims as a mission field on our own doorstep. And I've had the opportunity of taking a Muslim into my home, having a Muslim live with me for a year, and seeing the transformation of that Muslim, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. I've had the opportunity to baptize that Muslim as a new Christian, to teach that Muslim how to become a reproducing disciple maker so that the process can continue. And I will tell you, some of the Muslims that have come to faith in Christ are the greatest witness to other Muslims. They understand the worldview, they've been immersed in it, and therefore they become very efficacious in sharing the gospel with other Muslims. We need to know the truth about Islam, and I pull no punches in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. But nonetheless, we need to see Muslims as a mission field on our own doorstep, an opportunity to make a difference for time and for eternity, for reaching those who are trapped in this system. It's a very evil system. Well, we're at the end of this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Hank Unplugged, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the way we're reaching out through our digital media platforms, the Christian Research Journal, what we do in missions all over the world is a direct result of those who stand with us prayerfully and financially. The gospel is free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And once again, I appeal to you this year to stand with me prayerfully and financially. We'll never compromise. We'll never be politically correct. We're not looking for prosperity or popularity, but we are wanting to be productive while there's yet time. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.